Yeah, thanks, Oisin. No better place to start than with the women, Roma McLaughlin, Amber Barrett and Tyler Toland, all excelling for the Republic of Ireland senior ladies in 2017. And they're about to be joined in that squad by another Donegal girl, Amy Boyle Carr, who has been included in the Republic of Ireland senior ladies squad for the first time. Back in March, Roma McLaughlin was named the Under-19 Women's International Player of the Year at the three FAI Soccer Awards. She just missed out on European qualification with the Under-19s. Then in September, Milford woman Amber Barrett and 16-year-old St Johnstone girl Tyler Toland made their senior international competitive debuts for the Republic of Ireland women's team in a 2-0 win over Northern Ireland at Moorview Park in the opening game of their World Cup qualifying campaign. Barrett was introduced as a late substitute after Toland had come on as a replacement as well. Donegal's Amber Barrett was the star of the Women's National League Awards in November as the Piemont United striker scooped the Player of the Year and the Golden Boot Awards with an outstanding 16 goals during the campaign. She was also crowned the Irish Daily Mail Golden Boot winner. Then, at the end of the month, Barrett and Toland played their part as the Republic of Ireland senior ladies secured a super 0-0 draw against the reigning UEFA European champions, the Netherlands, in a FIFA World Cup qualifier.
How exciting is 2018 going to be for ladies soccer, guys? Because we have the four girls now involved in senior football, and they're all exceptional players, but I'm going to mention Tyler Toland. Like, she's playing senior football at just 16 years of age, Patsy.
And that girl, Amy, well, Carr's very young as well. Yeah. You know, these girls are making an impact, and out of Donegal, which was unusual. If you go back some years ago, that wasn't happening. You know, so it will create a greater interest within the Donegal soccer community. It will encourage the Donegal soccer community. You would like to see them playing in the Donegal soccer community, but then obviously people have different ambitions and different stories, but no, it's all positive, and it's I think they're getting better structured, better organised at underage, and going forward I see it really clearly, so it only can be positive.
Ryan?
Yeah, just a mention for Amber there, Oisin. Mm-hmm. Because you know, she was part of the Donegal senior ladies team in the Gaelic this year, and they had a very strong team, and she stepped away from that knowing that there was a possibility of Ulster titles, potentially even All-Ireland titles, because she was driven towards securing a spot in the Republic of Ireland women's team. She went away to the World University Games in Taiwan and came back and earned her spot. Like, so it showed me, you know, that when you're driven like that, you know, you can get places. Tyler Toland, you know, that's a brilliant story. Like, I think, yeah, you know, like, she was away down the Galway Cup playing for Kildrum Tigers with the boys team, you know, and she's playing for the Ireland women's under 17 team, and now she's starring for, you know, the senior team, taking on, you know, the might of Europe, like, in a, yeah, you know, when
they played the Netherlands recently.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, and
the qualifier, and,
you know, like, it was a 0-0 draw, but it was one of the great results that, you know, the Republic of Ireland women team probably ever had, you know, against the reigning European champions. Like, a super result, and they have made an excellent start to their World Cup qualifying games, and you know, it's going to be a bright 2018 for those Donegal girls.
Yeah, it certainly is, and there is a whole host of young girls at underage that are also lining out for the Republic of Ireland, and we wish them all the best of luck. And this, when we see these four girls, I suppose, part now of a senior team, it's gonna fuel this underage thing, Patsy.
And what it also says is, you know, when we've gone through the sports here this afternoon, I mean, the opportunities for young girls right now in all different variations of sports, it's absolutely unbelievable. My thoughts went back there right away to, you know, Amber came through athletics into Gaelic, now at soccer, doing extremely well. You know, everybody's very delighted for her. It's brilliant. And on the other side of the coin, Yvonne McMonagall went to World Student Games for Ireland as a soccer player and had an outstanding tournament under Noel King and Niall, who was the manager at that time of the LYAT, at which Yvonne was. And they couldn't get over her ability. But her real interest, obviously, was Gaelic, and she, look at the impact she has made there. So, you know, these people can adapt in three different sports, and that's a story in itself as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Following on from what Patsy's saying there, the whole participation levels for young girls are going through the ceiling.
Yeah. Let's turn our attention to the men. We'll go, first of all, to the Republic of Ireland, the senior men who didn't qualify. for the World Cup. Disappointment for Ireland. They're not going to a big tournament, and that was a difficult year for Seamus Coleman as well. Jermot suffering that double fracture of the tibia, and he's working his way back at the moment with Everton, so he is.
Yeah, and Ryan and Patsy both referring to the layoff that that Jason Quigley has got to experience because of his hand injury. Look at Jamie Coleman, similar length out since last March. I don't go to too many Republic of Ireland internationals, Oisin. I'd love to go to far more, but I was at that game against Wales back in March. And that was a horrible, horrible night for Seamus Coleman, and that tackle from Wales is Neil Taylor. But listen, he's back on the road to recovery. He's back training. He's a long way off, I think, from a return to action. That's the latest that
seems
we hear.
To be the latest, yeah.
So we wish him well in 2018. Yeah. Things can only get better.
But Patsy, you've seen it in athletics. Modern medicine and the way they deal with injuries now and recovery and that sort of thing has greatly improved from where it was 10 or whatever, 15 years
absolutely,
ago.
Oh, absolutely. But you do worry. You absolutely worry, and I worry for both Quigley and worry for Seamus Coleman. I wasn't encouraged by Sam Allardyce this week, to be honest, and you don't like to say it, but it's also a great challenge for the individual athlete. You know, we go back to Niall Quinn, how well he handled his injury at that particular time. If you remember, he came back into full with the Irish team, with the Premier League. He did everything right. He worked very hard, staying focused. No, we're very fortunate with these two guys. They will remain focused. They will take on the challenge of the injury. But injury is a very difficult time for an elite athlete. Very difficult time. I mean, even from a normal person, the frustration of not being able to get out there and do something, to clear the head, as we shall say. I mean, just to get out, and you can't do that. But he's very well supported medically, and he's been looked after very, very well.
Yeah, it's been, a low point in Seamus Coleman's footballing career, but there was some positives this year for the Killybegs. Man, he received the Freedom of Donegal at a civic reception, which was hosted by the County Council in Lifford. And ahead of receiving that honour, he spoke of his pride of being included on that list.
Oh, it's massive. We're talking about it coming over the road. To think, a lad just playing locally in Killybegs to get this honour is massive. And I'm still very fortunate to do what I do, and I've got unbelievable support ever since day one. So this is just another thing that means a lot to me. And I'm happy I'm doing Killybegs proud and Donegal proud when I play for Everton and Ireland.
Seamus Coleman on receiving the Freedom of Donegal. Just back to the Republic of Ireland situation. James McLean and Shane Duffy, they played important roles for the Republic of Ireland this year, Jermot, but unfortunately just enough wasn't done by Ireland overall to make the World Cup.
No, James McLean had a super World Cup qualifying campaign, some fantastic performances and some memorable goals as well. And Shane Duffy has come on leaps and bounds, hasn't he, as a footballer, as a person, and as a role model. He's enjoying a great season with Brighton. He has made the centre-half position one of those spots as his own under Martin O'Neill, and fair play to him.
Yeah. Just interesting on Duffy, of course, he was with Coleman at Everton, and then Duffy had spells with Yeovil and Blackburn, and he's really blossomed now. And as you say, he's holding down his first choice centre half for the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah. What about the underage internationals across? There's a long list of them.
The production line churning them out. Northwest players. I suppose let's start at under 21 level. Ronan Curtis of Derry, good year for him. A guy who's been watched by quite a few. Ethan Boyle, who's now gone from Finn Harps to Shamrock Rovers. He also got capped at under 21 level. Young Jack Keeney, who's with Sligo Rovers from Donegal Town, recognition at under 18 level. And then at under 15, the likes of Ronan McKinley, Patrick McGarvey and Funan Coyle. At a couple of other Harps players, under 16, Conor O'Reilly, Lee McCarron, I think at under 19, got a cap. And schools international caps for the likes of Shane Blaney and Jamie Bell. And Kieran McDade, the Buncrana Hearts midfielder, got a junior international cap. So, it's great.
Hopefully we've covered everybody there. And if we've left anybody out, we apologise. At times it's hard to keep track of all these young men who are playing international football at underage level. But, Jeremy, I'll go to you because there's a Letterkenny Rovers link here in this next one. And a situation, a rare occurrence for a father and son in 2017.
Yeah, Anthony and Dale Gorman, international appearances on... in the space of a week for two different countries, and it happened for Anthony and Dale, members of the Gorman family in Letterkenny. Anthony won another Masters cap as a member of the Republic of Ireland team who travelled to play the Czech Republic. And then Dale scored a goal for Northern Ireland in their 4-2 win over Estonia in a European Under-21 qualifier. He plays, of course, with Stevenage in England's League 2, and he helped Northern Ireland to go on to top of their qualifying group after that victory. So some achievement for Dale and Anthony.
Yeah, it certainly was. Ryan, you were in Scotland this year as well, on two occasions, watching Ga and soccer, isn't that right?
I was. I think I'm the Scottish correspondent for Donegal News now. Which hasn't earned me any more cash, Oisin, unfortunately. Yeah.
But anyway, Carl McHugh on the football front.
Yeah, Carl McHugh, you know, Carl picked up a very, very serious injury last year, Oisin, like, and you know, it wasn't looking good for him, and I didn't know if he would even play football again. But he's come back and he's done very, very well with Motherwell. He kept them in the Scottish Premier League last year, helped to keep them, and then was given the captaincy. And this year, he led Motherwell to the Scottish League Cup final, the Betfred final, and he led the team out at Hampden Park, and it was a very special occasion. Unfortunately, they lost 2-0. Probably controversially enough now, I know I spoke to Carl after the match, and there was a harsh penalty decision was given against them, then they had a man sent off, and they ended up losing 2-0. You know, obviously Celtic, very formidable side in Scotland, you know, it was always going to be a tough ask. But he did well. You know, Motherwell, they've got a new manager this year. They're making strides forward. I know the target is to be in the top six this year. I think they're about eighth at the minute, but they're not a million miles away from doing that. So it's a very achievable goal for them.
Yeah. Okay, then we're going to go for another quick commercial break. But when we come back, it's going to be League of Ireland football as we discuss Fun Harps and Derry City.
Special Mike Denver fan and your family to an exceptional night away. With top tickets to see Mike at the National Concert Hall, one of Ireland's premier venues for concerts in Ireland. Luxury travel, overnight accommodation at the Grand Canal Hotel Dublin, and enjoy Dublin City Centre the next day. Put the date in your diary, the 17th of April 2018. Surprise the Mike Denver fan in your family and sit back and let Highland Radio take care of you. Now taking bookings at Highland Radio or book online at highlandradio.com.
House Proud's biggest ever January sale is now on across all nine stores. Strabane Superstore now open. House
Proud. New year, new you? What does that even mean? A nip and tuck? A new fitness regime? Maybe. Travelling the world in a new camper van? Or popping to Fiji to top up your tan? Is it taking that trip you'll never forget? Or just making 2018 the best year yet? It's the new year, new anything. Jackpot. Play responsibly. In-app, in-store or at lottery.ie. Lotto. Time to play.
On a cold, dark night in January 1917, HMS Laurentic was sailing out the mouth of Lough Swilly when she struck two German mines and quickly sank. 354 men lost their lives that night, along with a fortune in gold bullion. But what was the Laurentic? Why was she in Lough Swilly? And who were the men who died with her? Tune into Highland Radio on New Year's Day for The Sinking of the Laurentic. Funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Gear up for 2018 with the massive New Year sale now on, in store and at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to our sports review of the year. It's time to talk League of Ireland football. We go to Jeremy Doherty once again.
Yeah, well, after a gallant fight, Harps were relegated back to the first division of the League of Ireland. October was really the month that Ollie Horgan's men would have that relegation confirmed. It had looked so much better earlier in the campaign. Back in July, they'd won three games in a row. They beat Drogheda, they beat Bowes, and they won 3-2 away to Bray Wanderers at the Carlisle grounds, and that lifted them clear of the relegation zone. But then trouble hit when they lost at home to Galway, losing 3-1, and they ended up losing 9 out of their last 10 matches. A win in Limerick, a 2-0 victory down there at the beginning of September, the only bright side to what was a difficult and disappointing end to the campaign. And their hopes of staying in the Premier Division, well, they were hanging by a thread after going down 3-0 to Derry City at McGinn Park. And then the following weekend, their relegation fate was sealed without even kicking a ball when their own game against Drogheda was called off due to an unplayable pitch in Ballybofey. They knew that a win for Sligo Rovers over Derry City would mean relegation, and that's what happened at the Showgrounds as the Candy Stripes lost 3-0 to the hosts. Here's former Harps captain Kevin McHugh.
Being there myself as a player, it's not nice. We work so hard off the field and on the field to get up into the Premier Division 3 years back, and always done a great job in keeping us there last year, and nearly kept us there this year. So yes, really, really disappointing weekend for the club and the fans, and for just soccer in the North West in general, because it's a big loss. Despite, I know there's rivalry between Derry and Sligo and ourselves, but I think if those two clubs would have met as well, they're two biggest gates of the year, or twice or three times a year, is Finnharps and Sligo, and Derry and Finnharps. So it'll be a big loss for them as well, having us not in the Premier Division. But there's loads to look at now and reflect on, and definitely loads to improve on off the field, and hopefully come back a lot stronger, I think.
Yeah, let's just maybe look at the season. I suppose Harps had played and fixtures that nobody expected them to get points out of against some of the big clubs, and they went away from home and they'd done that, but there was games that you felt that they should have won with sides around the bottom of the table at home, that things just didn't happen for them, Kevin.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. I think when you look at some of the results away from home, away to Limerick, Shamrock Rovers, away to St Pat's, some of the big results that Fun Harps have never gone away there without fear, and won in Dublin and pisses a gap. I think the thing will frustrate Ollie and Higgsy and his staff, and obviously the players as well, is their home form, and it has ultimately cost them their place in the Premier Division. When you look at especially moving up the Drogheda game, was way, way back, where we beat 2-0 after beating Derry, down in McGinn 2-0. I thought that could have been the turning point. The Sligo game at home, the Galway game at home, those were really, really disappointing results. And when you look at it now, if you won and draw one of those games, you possibly are still in with a realistic chance of staying in the Premier Division, you know. So, but that's what a league is, a league. The team that wins the league over a course of 33 games deserves to win the league. And unfortunately for us, the team that goes down, you can look back with a lot of hard luck stories, but at the end of the day, you're down. You can't lie over. Like, I know there's only 31 games to play, but we're all getting 2 games to go, and the stats don't lie. But again, there's still, like, and I was talking to people this morning as well, there's still loads to be positive about. Within the club and outside the club, and it's just a matter now of going, how can we improve on these things and come back on a better footing in a few years' time, and being with a realistic chance of staying in the Premier Division, not only with the hope, but with a proper realistic chance. Look at the likes of Sligo Rovers, maybe we can look at the likes of Derry, who are in the Premier Division and are there, and they have no doubt probably will not be in a relegation battle again. So how can we get to that stage? And that's something we as a club need to look at, you know.
And that was former Harps captain Kevin McHugh. So ultimately disappointment for Harps. It was always going to be tough, with 3 teams out of 12 being relegated at the end of the season due to the restructuring. And no coincidence, Ollie Horgan had made the point during the year that there's a link. If you look at the league table and you look at the expenditure of the clubs, well, Harps and Drogheda were the two with the lowest budgets. So money does talk to some degree. So it's a case now of trying to get promotion again next season out of Division 1, and Ryan, it certainly won't be easy.
No, it won't be easy. And I suppose a disappointing thing maybe about last year, Chris, was that there were some terrific results there as well. Like, you know, thinking going to McGinn Park and winning, defeated St Patrick's Athletic, you know, but it still just wasn't good enough. And you just have to pick it up again and go. And they've managed to secure Ollie for another 2 years. I think that's a help. I would have great time for the job he has done there. I think he puts in a huge amount of effort, himself and Paul Higgerty. And, you know, like, you wouldn't bet against them having success. It will be tough. You know, their budget will be cut again. You're going to have 10 teams in the league. I think it'll be an exciting enough format if you're in contention. I think it's the top four teams, you know, will all have a chance of getting back to the Premier Division. So, you know, he's recruited a few faces in again. I think it was today, it was announced that Damian McNulty isn't coming back. That's a blow, but they just have to try and find a replacement.
One of the probably most important signings that Ollie has made so far is the retention of Paddy McCourt. And you remember how much of an influence he had last season. One of the high points of what was a disappointing campaign was that goal he scored against Sligo Rovers. A wonder goal, really, a typical McCourt effort. Unfortunately, they went and conceded at the other end right at the end. But listen, it's going to be difficult in 2018. Galway United down there, Drogheda United down there. Then you've got the likes of Longford Town and Cove Ramblers and UCD, who will always be up there challenging for promotion. So big, big task ahead. Well, Derry City finished fourth in the SSE Artricity League table this year. A great achievement, given what happened during the year. Back in March, Derry City and the football family across the country were in mourning following the sad passing of Ryan McBride. The 27-year-old was found dead at his home just 24 hours after playing in his side's 4-0 win over Drogheda United. So there were great tributes to the former Derry City player, and of course his funeral taking place as well. A number of things happening around the club, including the move to McGinn Park and Buncrana. But Derry City, under their manager Kenny Shield, regrouped and went on to secure European football qualification for next season. Here's the Derry City boss, Kenny Shields.
I think it was a credit to everyone, and the supporters shouldn't be overlooked in this as well, because they've stuck by us, and they've went to McGinn Park and they've travelled all over Ireland to support us, and we respect that, and we always want to give them something back. And our entertainment levels were good, but we need to be better than good, and hopefully next season we can achieve that.
Yeah, it was a difficult time for the supporters, for everyone involved in the club, the players as well, but for you as manager, Kenny, it must have been a hugely difficult time.
Yeah, it was difficult, but you know, I've been told that so often by people, but you have to in life look ahead to the future, and that's what we're about, and we're doing everything we can to have a successful team next season, and everything I do is for the betterment of the club, and we'll continue to do that. And who knows, we could get right up there again if we can get ourselves off to a really good start.
Yeah. It's not too far away. Unfortunately for fans here in Donegal, there won't be a senior club to support in terms of Finn Harps, because they've dropped down to the first division. Any thoughts on that, Kenny? Can you see them making a swift return?
Yeah, I think they've a good man at the helm. Ollie Horgan has worked relentlessly to get the best he can of players and get the best players to Finn Harps, and I can see Finn Harps coming straight back up again. Between them and Galway, they'll be the two teams I feel that will be pushing for it the most. Yeah, I would put them in amongst the top two. I think Ollie will be working as hard as he can to achieve that. He's done it before and he can do it again.
Derry City manager Kenny Shields. And I suppose, Chris, on reflection, what Derry achieved this year, you have to give them lots of credit, given the situation at the start of the year where they lost their captain, Ryan McBride.
Absolutely. They went through a rocky period, both on and off the park, and then finished the campaign well. And of course, financially, it's very important to get that European qualification. I think the season before it was worth around €150,000 to them. So again, that's a boost. And they're back at the Brandywell next year, so they'll be hoping for better things.
Yeah, and there's talk as of this week, Jeremy, too, that a friendly with Finn Harps at the start, early in the campaign, maybe the first game to be played at the Brandywell.
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it? That would certainly attract a big crowd to the Brandywell. Yeah, and big year ahead for both North West clubs, Derry City and Finn Harps. Derry as well, losing some key players ahead of the new season. Kenny Shields has signed a couple of good players as well. But big task to go on and better what they achieved this year.
Yeah. Ryan, are you going to miss the North West Derbies?
I think people will miss them. Oshin, you know, always create a bit of interest. I suppose it kind of depends on how things are going, how the fortunes of both teams. But particularly the first meeting in the year was always a big, big game. And, you know, even for businesses about Bell Buffet and things like that, you know, it'll be a blow not to have it, you know. But hopefully the soccer fraternity in Donegal will continue to back Finn Harps, because that is vital if they want to keep senior football in the county.
Yeah. Dermot, there was a Donegal man who got his hands on silverware this year, soccer-wise.
Yeah, Bala Buffet native Johnny Dunleavy. He won the SSE Artricity Premier League and the FAI Senior Cup with Cork City. The Cork City captain suffered a knee injury against Limerick back in June, which ruled him out for the remainder of the season. But despite that, He said it was special to win with the Lee Siders, and earlier this month, Johnny was given a new contract with the champions.
Delighted to be back, Oisin. You know, it was something that we were talking about for quite a while now, and it's just great to get it over the line. And I can keep the head down now, focus on the rehab, and come back better than ever.
Yeah. Was it something that was maybe playing on your mind, the new contract, given the situation with the injury? And it's three knee operations and 3 years, and I'm sure it does play a part in your mind that is this thing gonna work out for me?
Ah, yeah, sure. Look, obviously, I mean, it's not been ideal. You know, it's not been ideal 3 years, in all honesty, just in terms of injuries and that. Probably punctuated by some of the best football that I've ever played, which is, you know, it's a strange thing. But I'm very lucky in a sense. The manager, you know, has been really, really good to me since I've been out injured. And, you know, I know that he has faith in me. And really, he's just said to me, look, get yourself back fit whenever that is, and that he wants me there for the business end. So, as I say, just great to get it over the line.
It's a good boost too, that you know that the club still has a lot of faith in you and getting a new contract on the table.
Big time. I mean, as I say, I'm very settled down there now, and you know, I've loved every minute from it since I joined the club, and you know, to have another year there, and obviously after the success that we've had for the last two seasons, really, it's fantastic to be a part of it again, and hopefully we can build on that next year. Ah, look, silverware is always a target down there, and I think that's the pressure that we have to live with, and it's brilliant. That's what you want. You want that expectation on you. We'll be looking to be challenging on every front, really.
That was Johnny Dunleavy signing a new contract with Cork. He's a good lad, Patsy.
He's a good lad. Always was a good lad. Even from his primary school days, you could see that this young fellow was going to do something in some sport, and it was soccer for him. And he's so unlucky with injuries, and he's dealing with it so well. And you just wish him that he will get back there quick. I would imagine that Johnny Caulfield wouldn't want ever let him go, because his influence, his steadying influence that he would have, and his leadership ability within a squad would be just would be very difficult to replace. And knowing the nature, the temperament of him, his positivity, you know, Johnny Caulfield, who's the manager of Cork, of course, would want him there, and I'm delighted to get a new contract. So now, and get that injury sorted.
Jeremy, we were mentioned there just when that piece was being aired, there's seems to be a common theme here. We're talking about injuries. Johnny Dunleavy had his third injury in three years. Jason Quigley, you mentioned one of the games involving Harpshire, Paddy Mealy and Harry Doherty.
That's a game that stands out as well for all the wrong reasons from last year. A League Cup match back towards the beginning of the season, Sligo Rovers and Finn Harps meeting in Ballybuffet, and a strange situation where the two players were running towards each other, Harry Doherty making his Harps debut, I think, that night, and the two players clashed, serious head injuries. Mm-hmm. And strange sight of seeing two ambulances coming over the bridge into Stranorder, making their way to Finn Park.
And earlier in the game, BJ Banda went off on a stretcher. It was like a casualty ward at Finn Park. And yeah, BJ, of course, that famous goal a couple of years ago, he's one of those who's re-signed for Harps.
Mm-hmm. And now, Harry Doherty has since left the club and is playing with Carrick Rangers. Not sure what Paddy's plans are ahead of the new season. Hopefully he'll agree a new deal and put pen to paper again at Finn Park for the new season. Institute's bid to gain promotion to the Irish League's Premier Division came up short again in 2017. They lost 5-2 on aggregate to Carrick Rangers in a two-legged promotion-relegation playoff. The start of this campaign saw the club troubled by the floods that badly affected the northwest. They currently actually have no home pitch and may not have one for a while, as there's an infestation of Japanese knotweed at the Riverside Stadium. Sporting clubs in Donegal, Derry and Tyrone were all hit hard by the floods in August. Institute had a good 2-0 win against Limavady today, so they move top of the table. Coghill Celtic won the Ulster Senior League and the Ulster Senior League Cup double again for a fifth successive season. They lifted the cup in April with a 1-0 win over Derry City Reserves, thanks to a goal from Jimmy Bradley. Another league triumph was sealed with a 1-0 win over Swilly Rovers in May. A Peter Doherty goal was enough to give the Inishowen side the title. Despite their dominance again last season, Coghill player manager Gavin Cullen said there was nothing easy in the victory.
So they're always difficult. Like, there's some good sides. I suppose the last few weeks proved it. You know, against Fannad, Bonagie and Twilly, who teams were sort of playing out the season, but they really put it up this. So there's no easy games in this league. We made probably harder work of it ourselves, and maybe we should have, because I think at the first half of the season before Christmas, I think we were playing really, really well. We were winning games quite comfortably, and we were passing the ball well, and we were scoring a lot of goals. I think since the turn of the year, we've sort of got reeled back in a bit, you know, a couple of poor results, and injuries and suspensions and players missing sort of caught up on us. But thankfully, you know, at the end of the season, like we topped the league, we won the league, and I think justifiably so.
That's Gavin Cullen, player manager with Coghill Celtic. Inishowen lost out to Clare in the Oscar Traynor Interleague Trophy final in May, losing by a goal to nil. To reach the final, Inishowen needed penalties to see off Limerick and District, but it was a great strike from Clare's international player Owen Hayes that proved the difference in the final. Inishowen joint manager Dermot O'Brien said the team just didn't take their chances on the day.
I think it was a very even first half. Very few clear chances at either side. Defences on top, which we knew. We spoke before the game there was going to be a close, tight game, and I also felt that the first goal was going to be crucial. Clare scored on about 47 minutes. Excellent finish from Owen Hayes. Had a wee bit of luck on the way the ball got to him, but he took full advantage. And I think for the remaining 43 minutes, we absolutely battered him and couldn't score.
I understand that Clare had an international as a centre-back who played very well.
Yeah, and I think that's a reflection, Miles, of where all the pressure was, you know. Stephen Kelly is a good player, centre-back. We tried to get the ball out wide and we were quite successful in the second half in getting the ball out wide and getting them around behind them. I just felt we were a wee bit hesitant in front of goal. We had numerous situations where we might have been advised to, you know, go directly for a shot from good positions, but we tried to tee up a teammate in a better position. And sometimes, you know, you have to take those half chances and hope one of them is in. But, you know, we had enough half chances and enough good chances to at the very, very least score one goal. And, you know, we didn't take our chances and paid the price. Simple as that, really.
That's Dermot O'Brien. At Colleges Football, the LYIT's wait for the Umbro Cup continued this year. The Letterkenny College lost out in the 2017 final 1-0 to IT Carlow in Limerick back in March. It was one of those games where LYIT deserved a lot more from the result, dominating the entire second half, but they just couldn't find the back of the net, and the win for Carlow made it 6 titles in a row for them.